waiting for a couple of people to join us. There will be some of the individuals at the table will be leaving at 10 o'clock. It has a great deal to do with the Middle States accreditation team being on our campus. So if you notice people leaving, it doesn't mean that the meeting is over. First, it's my pleasure to introduce to everyone two new college council members. First, Marie Reagan. And Marie's obviously familiar with SUNY Canton, having taught here for a number of years. Marie is also a supervisor of the town of Potsdam and is involved with the
North Country Power
Alliance, active in that. It's my pleasure, Marie, to welcome you to our college council. Marie and I served on the search committee for Dr. Kennedy together a number of years ago. It doesn't seem that long, but it is. So welcome, Marie. Also a new college council member is Joe Rich from Watertown, New York. Joe is pretty well known throughout the state of New York as the founder of the Disabled Persons Action Committee in Watertown that started from nothing, I guess you could say, and now employs 143 people. Joe is also a member of the Watertown Savings Bank Board. We always like to have bank board members involved in college activities. Welcome, Joe.
Yes, we do.
And from there, I will ask, other than the accreditation team, I would ask everyone else in the room to introduce themselves, starting with Michaela.
Michaela please. Young, Secretary to the President.
Dave Gerlach, Vice President for Advancement.
Liz Erickson, Campus Governance Leader.
Roger Sharlow, College Counsel.
Carla Schiffer, Interim President.
Okay, thank you very much. Joining us this morning for a short period of time is the Chair of the Middle States Accreditation Team, Dr. William Martin. Some of the College Counsel members may remember Dr. Martin when his initial visit, I think, to the campus to begin the setting up whatever is necessary to start the accreditation. Dr. Martin, welcome back again, and I would ask you to introduce the other members of your team that you have with you this morning.
Thank you, and I appreciate being a part of your meeting this morning. I and some of my colleagues have a few questions, and starting with Sarah, I'd like you to introduce yourself to the team. Let's show up and do that.
Sarah Winchester, I'm Vice President of Finance and Administration at Ocean County College in Toms River, New Jersey.
Good morning, I'm Tom Glazer. I'm Vice President for Information Technology from Howard Community College at Columbia, Maryland.
I'm Lisa, I'm a faculty member in engineering at Rutgers University.
Thank you.
And Ron, as you indicated before, I had met with members of College Council before, and I am Bill Martin. I'm chairing the accreditation team, and I am the semi-retired senior vice president for Pennsylvania College of Technology. We have a few questions about College Council and your operation, and like to have the opportunity to engage in a bit of a dialogue with you, we'd like to do that now. First of all, Ron or anybody else who's a member of council, can you tell me how you came to be appointed to this particular body?
Anyone?
I'm trying to recall. I think that it was basically my name was forwarded to the governor's office as a person who had an interest in serving on the College Council. I'm a former member of the local school district board, Mattard-Waddington. I was on the high school board for 11 years, serving at the end of my tenure as the president of the school board. My interest in education has always been something that in any way that I could help students, certainly I've been anxious to try and do that. So I think that just simply showing an interest in that and having had the luxury of working at the high school level and watching as students advance to college and university, I think that my name was floated around, and I was fortunate enough to be nominated by the governor to serve.
So these are gubernatorial nominations.
Yes.
Who, or appointments. Who actually does the nominating, Roger?
But, traditionally, it's been, I guess to be truthful, traditionally it's been the county chairman of the particular party that controls the state house. Those recommendations quite often come from a county chair. However, in years past, I understand that the college council members themselves have forwarded names to the governor's office for appointment. So I think it's pretty wide open, but I think the general consensus is that it's forwarded to the governor's appointments office by the county chair of the political organization that controls the state house. For example, when Governor Pataki was governor, the county Republican chair most likely, I assume, made recommendations and then forwarded to the governor appointments. And then the governor or his staff obviously have to review it. Once they've been reviewed, there's a background check that is done by the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, State Police. What else happens? I think, and then there's the oath of office has to be taken. But that generally, I think that's how it really works.
Okay.
Aunt Marie?
Well, since I'm newly appointed as fresh appointment, Mark Bellardini, who was the county Democratic chairman, approached me, and I think he may have had some brief conversation with you, Ron, I don't know, to see if I'd be suitable. But I think because I had, personally, I think because I had been on the previous search, and the new search is so important to this college, that maybe my name came up. And, you know, I had taught here for 27 years and had left as a SUNY distinguished professor, and I have kept involved with the college on several levels since then. And they asked me if I'd like to serve, and I said I'd be delighted. And then I didn't hear anything for months, and then all of a sudden I got a letter and said, you who had this meeting, and that was it.
In terms of the role that college council plays with the university, can you tell me what some of the more significant tasks that are assigned to you as members of college council?
Well, I think it's pretty well, or it's clear in state education law, the responsibility of the college council. The greatest responsibility is selecting or hiring a new president once there's been a vacancy. And that's clearly written in state ed law. I can't remember the section. It might be 7, 16, or 13, something like that. And that states that when a vacancy, when it's apparent that a vacancy exists for a president, then it's up to the State University of New York to contact the College Council to begin the search process. The chair of the College Council appoints the search committee. The chair of the College Council, I should say, appoints the members of the search committee that will serve as representatives of the College Council, which are four. Then the other constituencies on campus, like faculty, they choose their own four representatives. So it's a pretty democratic process that's done. That's the greatest responsibility we have. We also naming buildings, for example, and we're also responsible for student conduct and any issues that would involve students. Basically, that's our responsibility. We don't heavily become involved in, we don't become involved in hiring any of those issues whatsoever. So at that point, advisory board to the president or interim president, or acting, whatever it may be. And any other council members have anything more to offer?
Ron, if I could take off
sure.
on the last point. After the process of searching for and hiring a president, which is clearly outlined in law, I think the chief role of the council is advice and counsel to the president of the college. Because we don't have a formal policy role, so much of SUNY policy is imposed from SUNY Central. There's not a lot of flexibility for college counsel, but where they can be extremely valuable is in really the personal relationship with the president and the senior administration, and providing an outside view on the activities going on at the college and how it interrelates with the broader community at large. So I really think that's perhaps the most important function. College presidents don't get hired very often, so that happens maybe once every 20 years. College council meets 6 or 8 times a year, so there's a lot of opportunity for interaction, advice, and counsel with the president.
Thank you. Well put. You're about to embark on a presidential search, at least now. My understanding is that with Carly's departure, there is an interim person who will be assuming the responsibilities for a period of about a year. Are there milestones that have to be met, or what is the process before council can actually undertake that search?
Well, first, it's my impression. I have not had any formal notification that there has been anyone hired, except an informal email response from SUNY Central as to a rumor I had heard. So other than that, I had no formal education or notification from SUNY Central. It reminds me, like people have heard me say this before, it reminds me about Will Rogers always said, all I know is what I read in the paper. But it's my understanding from what I read in the paper that in fact there has been an acting president named starting June 1st, not interim, but acting. And acting, as I understand according to the paper, that would be for 2 years. And it also is my understanding that a search would not start this spring as we originally thought, had an interim president been appointed, but the search would start the fall of 2014. Now, once we get permission, and we cannot start the search until we have permission from the chancellor. And once the chancellor notifies the campus the college council chair that the search process can begin, from there we choose the representatives of the search committee. And again, going back to, like, for example, the faculty, they choose their own 4 individuals, support staff, so on. I think it's maybe 15 members. I may be wrong, 13 or 15. Also, under the old guidelines, we had an individual from SUNY Central that acted as liaison with the committee. It's my understanding under the new search guidelines that we will have an individual that will be a non-voting member of the search committee from SUNY Central. That's something that's a little bit different. Once the committee has gone through the search process and narrowed it down, and this is how it used to work, I should say. With Dr. Kinney, once we had narrowed the search down to the final 3 candidates, that was the consensus of the search committee. Those 3 individuals were interviewed by the chancellor in Albany. That time it was Bruce Johnstone. Just to make sure that those individuals, any of the 3, would be acceptable as president of the college. And then it came back to the search committee to select the final candidate or the president out of those 3 individuals. So it was, at that time, it was entirely the search committee's responsibility as to who was going to be hired. it's somewhat unclear under the new guidelines how that will work. I have a feeling that the search committee could narrow it down to the final two or three candidates and then have SUNY Central interview those candidates and may or may not, I don't know this for sure, but may or may not make a recommendation back to the search committee as to who they feel may be the best person for the campus president. I'm not sure of that. But it's a little gray area there as to who's going to have the final authority or say on who actually is going to be hired. And just to carry on a little bit, I know we're under time constraints here this morning, but the last time when Dr. MacArthur retired as president and the vacancy was apparent, the Chancellor, Bruce John Stone, at that point, charged the College Council with starting the search process. At that same time, the College Council was consulted as to who, if we as a College Council knew of anyone that might be willing and able and acceptable to be an interim president. We were directly consulted. And in that situation, we had Dr. Bob Frazier, who had just retired as vice president here on the campus. We made that recommendation to the SUNY Central, and immediately that was it. Dr. Frazier served in a year and a half, did a magnificent job. So things have changed somewhat, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Does that answer you? Anyone else have anything to fill in?
Other members of the evaluation team, other questions that come to your mind?
You said the search is going to start in fall of 2014?
I have nothing official on that, but that's kind of my understanding. Because with the acting president, it's a two-year agreement where...
SUNY has indicated that you could start a search for the president? Or I was just wondering how they came up with the name, or you're just taking it by the term of the acting president?
Well, you knew about the controversy about us not having our own individual president between Canton and Potsdam. All right. So I think we've gotten over that hurdle, or at least I hope we have. I'm 95% sure of that. SUNY Potsdam has hired an interim president, which would serve until a new president has been named. That new interim president has been in contact with the College Council chair at Potsdam already to meet with them. And it's my understanding that they will begin their search in the spring for a new president. Now, with an acting president, it's apparently a horse of a different color, that we would not be able to start the search this spring, but rather in the fall of 2014. That's just my understanding. I have no confirmation for SUNY Albany whatsoever. I guess to get an answer to your question, you would have to ask SUNY Central.
I was curious, I don't know if I heard it or not. Do you have term lengths as trustees, council members?
Yes, I think there's 6 years.
7 years.
Or 7 years, 7 years. And you're appointed, it's a 7-year term, and if you are not replaced, you continue to serve. In other words, we have at least one member of the College Council, the term expired a couple of years ago, but that individual continues to serve until replaced, even though the term has expired. And the chair is appointed by the governor, too.
Thank you.
Sarah, any questions from you? Lisa? I appreciate you taking the time to meet with us. We'll leave you and give you the opportunity to get on with your meeting. Thank you again.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Well, that was very nice. For my report, I really have very little. I guess what little information I did have, it just conveyed to Dr. Martin. You do, however, have a copy of the College Council roster that was provided. And some of the new members are Joe and Marie. If there's any additional information that should be on there, just check with Michaela. Marie apparently doesn't want us to know that she's married to Robert.
The new one.
Oh, you got a new one.
You have a new one.
Oh, okay.
I got that after I.
Okay, so you
out.
Have you, you will.
Since you know my husband, he doesn't have.
Okay, that and. Really, I don't have anything else to report unless you have any questions for me.
I have one that's sort of funny. I didn't know that people were appointed for 7 years. I'm only appointed to the fourth until. Am I replacing somebody? Because my appointment gets done in 2014. I don't know if that's because of my advanced age.
Right.
You're only going to try me for a while.
We just go year by year, Marie.
I'll be good.
No, I should have made that clear. That's right. You, when there's a term, there's a set term, and if you replace someone, you just replace the balance of that term, and then you have to be reappointed again. But at least you don't have to go through the background check again.
I guess my question basically was answered when you were talking to them, but Jeremy Brown, we don't know, has been officially appointed. It's only what we read in the paper. Being down south, I mean, I assume that that was official.
Well, I'll be upfront with you. I mean, there's no reason for me not to be. I think being truthful gets you a lot further. I heard a rumor from someone on the campus the day of the trustees meeting. I was watching it on the internet, and because they met in executive session. But later that day, I heard from someone that said that the rumor had. But first, let me go back a little bit. The provost, LaValle, came to meet with the College Council maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and Dr. Brown was with them. So we did have a chance to meet him. We didn't have a quorum, so it was more or less an informal type meeting. And the provost explained the difference between an interim president and an acting president and what that meant.
Ron, I unfortunately wasn't able to make that meeting, and that was a note that I took to follow up on. What is the difference between an interim?
One of the biggest differences, I guess two, if I'm correct. First of all, an interim president does not have a definite guarantee of how long he or she would be interim president. Could be 2 years, could be a year, could be 6 months, depending on how long a search would take, if a search is undertaken. Then once the new president is hired, of course, obviously then the interim would be leaving. An acting president, as I understand it, is guaranteed a two-year mission, two-year contract, if you want to put it that way, I guess. And then the other thing is an interim president cannot apply if there is a search to be full, to be the permanent president. An acting president can. And I think basically those are the two differences. Okay. I don't think there's too much difference there.
With regard to, you all said?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I guess there'll be a lot of questions about that, I think. So Will Dr. Brown, I mean, I wasn't here either, so is he a fellow who would be interested, I guess, is the first question I have, in becoming a permanent president to the university?
I have no idea.
Okay. And, I mean, it just seems like his being appointed acting is a segue into a permanent position. And I just wish that the folks at SUNY Central would level with this. Whether we like what they have to say or not, it really does behoove them to not lead us around. Let us know what their intentions are and what our role will be in all of that, so that we can let the dust settle. I think this has gone on far too long, and I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone, but it just seems unfortunate that's where we are, and that Potsdam is getting an interim president while a search is being conducted. I mean, we're in the same position, and there should be no difference in the two universities conducting a search. And let's do this sooner than later. I mean, that's enough.
Yeah. Point's well taken. Just to carry on a little bit further. So after the college council members that day had met with Dr. Brown, the provost indicated to me that he would be in touch with me a few days later. And it was my understanding that, you know, it could be possibly an interim president or an acting president, and also that the three other campuses that will be starting a search for president, I think Cobleskill, Morrisville, and one other. The chancellor, or the provost said that there might be an advantage to delaying the search until the fall of 2014. The pool of candidates might be a little better. I really didn't understand that part. But anyway, so once I had heard the rumor the day of the trustees meeting, I sent an email to Jen Laturco first. I thought she was with the provost, and she wasn't. So then I finally got an email through to the provost, and I said I'd heard this rumor, and he informally, I assume, because it's just email, that yes, Dr. Brown had been named acting president, and that's the last I've heard.
Based on the consolidation of controversies that went on, I wonder if that might have had an impact in their lack of total courtesy that I've noticed. I don't think I said off the cuff at the meeting we have with Dr. Brown, you know, don't treat us with a little respect, you know, and I can't imagine why they would make an announcement to the whole state of New York about who the new interim president is, without even mentioning it consulted with Ron. And that bothered me a great deal.
And I think it should, and because I believe that there, and I guess I stopped short of saying what I'm going to now say, and that is, it's almost as if we're going to be punished for having been diligent in the very beginning with our responsibility as a college council. And I think that's a very sad commentary. This is education we're talking about, folks. I mean, is this the example we want to send to students and members of the public and taxpayers and everyone who would have an interest or concern about the university? Again, if this is a slap on the hand, well, then so be it. If you feel like that's the way you have to conduct things, but at the end of the day, we have to put our differences aside and move forward collectively. Otherwise, we'll be doomed. And it really is very, very troubling to have to be involved in that kind of shenanigan. I mean, quite frankly, I don't have time for that foolishness, nor should I have. My focus here needs to be what I was charged with doing, and while I may not have been very eloquent in describing that earlier, I really believe that we have a role here, and let's continue to focus on that role.
Stone that we do have a role.
I think it's been, I think mean, it was, but my understanding is
why
that.
Why would they skip over us like that then? I just don't understand, Roger.
It seems like SUNY Central has decided that the role is going to be something they will reinterpret. And so, while yes, I think there is some legislation and some rules that relate to what a college council can and can't do. Based on what's happened over the past year or two, I have to say that some of what we believed was our responsibility was pulled out from under us. And because it has been, I'm not sure any of us understand any longer what the real role of a college council is.
Page 41 and 42, 40 and 41 is what the college told Middle States your role is. So they had this document, and it outlines a little wider than what you described as your role.
You mean that's what SUNY Central told them?
This is what we have told the Middle States.
Sorry, okay.
Your role is.
All right.
Based on probably the policies and procedures manual, Board of Trustees policy, somebody probably with a law degree.
I didn't write the whole thing. I remember pulling out the information from JG. But there's Board of Trustees, there's state law. On the SUNY Central website, this is the function of a college council.
And that's what went in the policies and procedures manual. It's taken directly off from whatever SUNY Central
has. And it's a little wider than what you described, but you were fairly accurate.
But if you compare what our role is as it is written and our function over the past, or what we've been allowed to do, are they not contradictory? Is the question I would have to ask. And from my perspective, it seems as though they are.
Right.
We are not being allowed to do what we have been charged with doing. So I really wish that the chancellor and the trustees would come to an agreement to agree to disagree. But let's move forward in a positive direction for the sake of the university.
Yeah, I think probably Roger's right. I guess we just move forward. It was my uneducated opinion in the very beginning that when Dr. Kennedy, when we became aware that Dr. Kennedy was leaving our campus, let's put it that way, that state education law very clearly dictated at that point that the chancellor would charge the college council to begin the search process. Very clear, black and white. I mean, you know, I keep saying I'm not a well-educated person, but I can read and I can interpret, and it's very clear. And we, at that time, a couple of us did consult an attorney, but the attorney felt that we had a valid point, but it would drag on for years. It just would get nowhere quick. So, and on top of that, we would be fighting the resources of SUNY Central, our own tax dollar. We'd be fighting ourselves, and that's something. You know, we'd be paying, I don't know, it gets confusing. So anyway, so that's where we're all at. But the college council still has not been notified that we have an acting president.
I've never met Dr. Brown before, but I think I read people well. And at that meeting, I think somebody here asked, is he interested in becoming president? To me, it was clear that he hadn't made that decision, but he wanted that option. Am I not right, Ron?
I agree.
And he more or less said that when he was asked, I think, by Joe, well, are you interested in becoming interim? And he went on with the differences between 1 year and 2 year and the option to apply if he wanted to, and that for his family's sake and other reasons, he probably would be more interested in the acting. And those were the first times that I knew the difference. So while he didn't say he was, he made it clear that he wanted the option. Do you think so, Joe?
I think so, too. Yeah, I think Marie's right.
Right.
If it gets to that,
because some of us around the table have seen him in action with this college. So
I will say I was absolutely elated at the strength of our leader here. Ron asked some pretty tough questions.
Well, I already got those questions.
Yeah, he did. He said. said that that was his function, and he had a lot of information. And I will say Dr. Brown was direct in answering, but you were very polite, circumspect, but very direct. And I applaud you for that.
And Marie, I just want to interject. Sorry, Ron, I don't mean to interrupt you, but that his leadership in all of this has been stellar, absolutely keeping us all as council members advised of what he's aware of, keeping facts the way they were. If it was a rumor, he told us it was a rumor. But his leadership in all of this has been just something that certainly I have been very grateful for. Because we don't meet every day, and I know that he's put countless hours into all of this. So certainly, Ron, I would ring in with what you're saying, Marie. He's done a wonderful job and asked all those tough questions, and still with great diplomacy, which I got to say, there are times when it has to be difficult not to to spout out what you really feel, given what we've been put through.
Well, you know, I noticed that at the meeting with Dr. Brown. I happened to be there when they were planning and talking to Ron and saying, here's the way we want to do things at this meeting, without giving Ron the courtesy. Did you sense that also? You know, I was really embarrassed by that. And I said, well, how could anyone be treating our president the way they are treating him? I even said something at the meeting about it. But I couldn't understand. I just don't understand why anyone would do that.
Just let me say a couple more things and we'll move on. First of all, thank you, Joe, Marie, and Roger, and I'll give you your envelopes outside the door there.
But,
get a compliment in.
But Dr. Brown's information is available very easily, but up until that point, Dr. Brown had been involved actively in several searches throughout the country for presidencies. In fact, the following Wednesday and Thursday, he was going to an interview in Maine for a presidency. And one of the questions I asked him is whether or not he still intended to go. And he said at that point, yes, he would, or was. So he clearly is looking for a president. There's no question about that. But my feeling overall was that I was hoping it would be an interim president so that we could start the search this coming fall, so to maybe to reassure the campus community that we are in fact going to have our own president. And that was one of my greatest fears about having an acting president, to delay that process. But that's really all I'm going to say. But for those people on the campus community that because that search may be delayed, you know, that there's an old Irish proverb that says everything will be all right in the end. And then the end, if it's not all right, it's not the end. So just keep that in mind. Okay. The minutes of our last meeting, you received a copy of those. The chair will entertain a motion to approve those minutes. Moved by Tom, second by Roger. Are there any additions or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. Now, for a very brief period of time, the chair would ask a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters. Do I hear a motion?
So
moved by Tom, second by Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. I would excuse everyone else. It shouldn't be very long. I would say maybe
T-bone on the side. My fault. Yeah.
Yeah, Carly had to go. It was 10.
I came Friday and I stopped at North Syracuse and I said, what's the lake effect? And they said, well, they got 7 inches till 2 hours ago when it stopped. And I came through without a snowball.
Good for you.
Ron, did you get the motor?
Yes. You got pretty rough in here while you were gone. Okay, thank you. Minutes reflect that no action was taken in executive session, and we will go back into regular session. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion for a nominee for the 2013 Excellence in College Service Award. Anyone care to make a motion on who the award should go?
I make a motion that the Excellence in College Service Award go to Mr. Stuker and Pitcher.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Coanne. All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you. The Distinguished Citizen Award for 2013. And again, Marie's nominate John J. Gray Jr. Is your second? Second, Tom. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. The Distinguished Faculty Award nomination goes to, or the nomination rather, the chair will entertain a motion rather for the Distinguished Faculty Award.
I would nominate Raymond. Raymond should have it.
I don't know all the people very well, so okay. I
agree. Is there a second to Cohen? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So how do you pronounce Ray's last name?
Krishunas.
Okay. Because I always call him Ray.
Krishunas.
Okay. Okay.
You did fine. You were right.
Thank
there.
You. Right. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Thank you. And finally, the 2013 Employee Recognition Award. And again, the chair will entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we present the Employee Recognition Award.
Is there a second? Second by Joe Rich. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. Those individuals will be.
I have the letters ready for you to sign. I just need to pull them out.
How did you
well,
know?
Well, I did them always.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just pull the right ones.
I see how you're going to answer that one.
I did them for everything.
Okay, is there any old business to come before the board today?
Rod, I do have one question.
Sure.
On us right. In this interim period, or will our interim president have a chance to weigh in on that?
We don't know the answer to that yet. Right now, we have to go before SUNY Central, Brian Huxley, for every hire we have to go for. We have to submit a request to hire for the justification for each position, with the exception of faculty hires.
Okay.
I don't know the answer. There's no end in it.
I like that answer, because if we have to ask to hire, particularly the shared services position, let's not ask. My concern in this is that if over the next several months we are essentially told what positions we are required to hire, and then we bring in a new president, the new president is stuck with a team that he didn't get to pick, and I don't care how talented a candidate we have as a president, if he doesn't get to deal some, he or she don't get to deal some of their own cards, they're just a figurehead. And what's the point? have our own president and lose the war in the process. And I'm concerned that if SUNY Central continues to stack, you know, tries to stack the deck in their favor, it's what we talked about earlier today. It is them imposing their will, and really SUNY Central's, and I understand the law, and I know they can do it, but Canton College has built a reputation based on what we do as a community, not necessarily based on what happens at higher headquarters in Albany. If we are forced to accede to their will, that really damages the good work that's been done, not just over Joe Kennedy's tenure, but over 50 years that it built the reputation of this place. And I'm very concerned about that. So my recommendation is if we have to ask to hire, let's not ask. Let's wait and see how the acting presidential process sorts out, and see how, see when we get authorization to actually commence a search, and if we can drag things out, let's do it. So, anyway.
Honestly, we've been under this moratorium since before I came. The moratorium was reinforced to not give raises and promotions until a new president comes in. But the rest of that, we've been under since, I don't know how long, do you know how long it was put in place? Because it was in place when
Chris Gray was.
I was completely taken back by the whole form. Like, when Chris said that, we were
really, it was imposed by me.
Yeah.
I
think
Mars
is.
So it's on both campuses?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, that memo was addressed to both campuses. As the president is leaving, that we're not allowed to give large raises, increases, promotions. To me, it's standard. I mean, in corporate, that would be standard.
That's reasonable.
Right.
That's reasonable.
But the
likewise, the corollary of
right.
that is reasonable as well.
Yes.
While you're in a period of transition, we shouldn't expect SUNY Central to try and stack the deck with what they want, just because it differs from what we want. So, two-way street.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you tell me what the
Canton
member? I only went to that one meeting where Joe and I and Ron were there. Absolutely new to how things operate. I was at a supervisor's meeting, and somebody that I think is really pro this college and has worked very hard, Dave Button, came up to me and wanted to know what happened at the meeting. You know, are we going to be able to do a search? When? And give me the guidelines. What are you supposed to say? I mean, how much of this is public? How much is private? I understand executive sessions would be private, but I just said, Dave, you know, we had a meeting, we probably should talk to him, you know, because I didn't know what to say.
I think you're at liberty to say what you feel. I mean, I tried to keep all the college council informed about what's been going on.
But I mean, if outside people ask,
yeah, right.
I don't want to do anything that's wrong. But at the same time, you don't want to act as if you're a secretive
right.
CIA body.
Right.
These meetings right here, like when you're not in executive session, they're on tape.
Okay.
This
yeah.
digital record
good.
Goes
good.
Up
yeah.
on the website
okay.
yeah.
because they're an open
it's
meeting.
Open
that's
meeting,
fine.
Open
that's
the
fine.
Media too. Yeah.
It's only
so
one
meeting.
And I knew Dave was a friendly person that cares about the college and is
yeah.
retired.
Any other old business? If not, we'll move on to some area updates. We do have a little extra time, apparently. So, Natalie, maybe do you want to start? Maybe if you have anything to tell us, good news, bad news, in between news.
We really don't know anything about the budget. So
okay.
The governor has put in, or they've passed $27 million in the budget to go towards the hospitals, but we know that the hospitals need $150 million to make up the shortfall. They're considering taking a loan from the Department of Health to cover the difference. If they do that, though, there will be a payback period that will impact all the rest of the campuses, the state supported campuses, over the next 3 years. So essentially, one way or the other, it looks like we're going to have to pay for the difference the hospital is losing at this point in time. But there's been nothing that's come forward.
board saying that that's definite. Other than that, we've really been busy preparing for middle states and trying to gather information so when we do get a budget number that we'll have something to look forward as a draft budget.
The rumor I've been hearing in Albany is, and I guess that's what you were speaking about, there was concern on our campus previously and probably still that because we had a surplus and SUNY Potsdam maybe had $500,000, that somehow or another Potsdam was going to end up using our money. But it looks like we're not going to have our money, but it's not going to be Potsdam's going to get it. It's going to be
downstate.
So I guess we can, whatever fear we had about Potsdam getting our money, forget about it because downstate medical is going to get it.
They could sweep our super account.
There's always that possibility.
And upstate, I guess, too.
And upstate's losing $4 million a month, downstate's losing $8 million a month.
And it said that, what, it established a line of credit for downstate for, what, $25 million just to keep them going for a month?
Yeah, 1 month.
So it's pretty serious.
How is it that individuals are thrown in jail for the purchase of that other hospital? When they're in such dire strait. I mean, it seems to me that somebody has done something incredibly wrong to purchase that hospital 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and then now try to shutter it when they themselves are bleeding, hemorrhaging, as quoted in the newspaper. It doesn't make sense to me.
Just very quickly, they've been trying, the state of New York's been trying to shut down those hospitals since attack. And now I don't know if the deal was struck, but this has been a long time coming. They've wanted to close those university hospitals for a long time.
I think it's been pretty common that we more or less have been supporting them, right, for a number of years.
And the state just doesn't want to give money.
Yeah.
It may happen since that deal.
So that is not necessarily good news, obviously. Anything else, Natalie?
No.
Anything good for us at all? Okay, thank you. Any questions for Natalie? Thank you.
I was just going to make a comment that even the private providers right now in the state, like our agency, are on the board, and we're looking at a 6% cut in Medicaid funds. And for some of the larger agencies, even in St. Lawrence County, looking over $1 million in cuts right now. But I understand it's being cut back to like 4% last year at the moment. But they said maybe you should set up a separate foundation to protect some of your dollars. So we're in the process of doing that now. And they said they will protect 3 or 4% of the total budget. I'm sure it's not true of university hospitals, but I want to let you know that we're all suffering.
I think it's everywhere. I'm on the CDP board. You know, we also we operate like neighborhood centers and all that, but also Head Start. And our Head Start funds are really going to take a hit. There's a lot of layoffs. And then on top of that, we've got the minimum wage increase to deal with, even though it's going to be gradual. You know, like a community organization like that, we don't really have a way of passing that additional cost on to someone else where maybe, I don't want to say this, but maybe a small business could, but I'm not being critical of small business. But it's going to be tough everywhere. Okay. Ryan, any updates for us?
I just, really quickly, if I could just clarify on the interim and acting nomination appointments for the presidents. Those are board of trustees resolutions. They have been passed, and they were passed on Tuesday of last week. Both for Dr. Brown and for Dr. Hefner, both of those appointments are open until the successor has been named. That's it. There's no timeline given for either one of those. The only difference is that Brown was given the title acting president and Hefner given the title of interim president. So that just wanted to...
The only thing that led me to say that, and I think in our meeting with Dr. Brown and the provost said that it would be a two-year commitment. That's what led me to say that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, whether that's what they have in mind, but the resolution reads that both
okay.
are just, but there's no end date for either until a successor has been named.
So it would be your opinion that even though he's acting, just your opinion, even though he's acting, that there would be a possibility that we could start the search in the spring, or not?
As far from everything I can see, and based on a previous press release, I mean, they had originally, just a month ago, talked about starting the search in the fall, this fall. Now, I don't know what that is.
Okay.
I don't, but I still think that they're, I would like to think they're going to move forward with the search within the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay.
Carly wanted me to just give a quick update on this project that we've been working on for many years. Regards to a wind turbine on campus. And just briefly, way back when, I don't even know, 2006, NICRA approached SUNY Canton as a facility to do a wind study and to use as a model for what's called a distributed wind energy project. And basically what that means is that the energy from something like a wind turbine would come directly to the state facility and be used here for energy. And any surplus we could put back on the grid. Instead of a large wind farm or even just one wind turbine that would go to the grid, this would actually come first to the campus before moving out. And over years and years, many studies have been done, but we're actually finally moving into phase one, which is going to be the environmental studies for this project. And we plan to hold a public information session here at SUNY Canton. The tentative date is April 16th. And hopefully we can get a notice out in the paper by either the end of this week or beginning of next week. But this is just to give the community the opportunity to hear what the project is about. We hope to have folks from NICA here, representatives from both our facilities department as well as our engineering technology department, the dean of our engineering technology school, and most likely the company that's going to be consulting on this project called SED. So I just wanted to make that, make everyone aware of that. And I think that's it. Oh, just real quickly, when we were last week, Carly and I and Molly were able to stop in Albany and meet with Assemblywoman Russell. We tried meeting with Senator Ritchie and Senator Griffo, couldn't meet them because they were in session. But we wanted to advocate for the use of existing capital dollars to finish the rehabilitation to Cook Hall. We have money sitting in an account, but we don't have the authorization to spend that money. And all indications were we were not going to get that authorization based on the proposed budget. So we're hoping that we might be able to get that inserted through either our Assemblywoman or our Senator.
Okay, good. Any questions?
In terms like health and safety?
critical space student needs.
Any questions for Ryan? In the beginning, you mentioned about the trustees voting on the interim and acting. For the sake, maybe for some of the college council members, the new interim president at Potsdam, I think, is probably a wonderful choice. Dr. Heffernan just retired recently from Fredonia, where they have a music program. I talked to a couple of people from Fredonia that knew Dr. or knows Dr. Heffernan. When he left or retired, they actually had three different retirement parties for him, and the doors were busting down. So I think that alone says something about Dr. Heffernan being respect on his campus. I think that's a good choice. Okay, Dr. Molly Ma.
Yeah.
She's raising her hand over there. You haven't said anything yet.
Academic.
and I'm not even sure if the academics are getting this scrutiny. I mean, he is asking for goals on objectives for the student leaders, which they should have. He has really come up with some very good, healthy suggestions. So I think it's great that he is that in depth. Yes, that's where I got to go now again. So it's a good thing, but it is very much a twist from the past, I think.
Do you feel overall that, it's
going
very
well?
Oh, I
think it's going well, but he has identified some areas that, you know, I've identified as well, but he has given voice to it and confirmed it, so I don't feel so crazy.
Yeah.
So I think that's really good. You know, areas that I've kind of been, I'm not sure we're there yet, and he has nailed it exactly. It's amazing. He's nailed it all.
How big is, we saw four people, how big is the accreditation team? Bigger than
there's
four
three more than
yeah.
that. Yeah, he's keeping me hopping, so I gotta go again.
Okay. Thank you, Molly.
Sure.
Now, Dave, any update for us?
The only thing that I think would of merit today is we're in the process of preparing our foundation operations budget for next year that would go to finance committee approval and then full board approval. As you know, we have struggled over the past 3-4 years in fundraising. First, the market collapse of 08 and 09 and 10, and then the excitement around here has created instability that has been difficult for us to yield big gifts. And so my team and I struggled over the budget, and we're probably going to be presenting a deficit budget, which we have the reserves for that. But we can't just present a deficit budget, because you can't do that all the time. And so what we are going to do, and I wanted to just give you a heads up, I'll present it formally when we flush it out, is we are going to be declaring success, putting the flag in the ground. We're going to celebrate the announcement of Dr. Brown. We're going to charge ahead with positive news that, you know, we won't talk about the battle has been won, but metaphors of finally having a direction so that we can push confidence out to our alumni, friends, and businesses. And so we need stability,
right.
Period. And anything the council can do to help present that message of we're coming back into normalcy and time to move forward would be beneficial for this. The good news, we set the frame of that. We're actually going to launch into a campaign, 3-year likely, to begin this celebration of moving forward. And my people, who are much more creative than me, will come up with a really good title for this campaign. Because what's happened has hurt our students, period. And so we need to have this sense of calm come back to the campus as a whole. And from a marketing standpoint,
right.
Often you lead with news before it's time. And there we don't have calmness now, but we need to start presenting that message. And so my hope is that it will come true. And because we need to have sense of moving forward. So the good news is, after we set that, staff member was back in Florida closing some deals that we've been working on for 5 years, one in particular that's likely to be a $25,000 or $50,000 endowment, had another commitment from a gentleman who had given us $150,000 to pledge another $100,000, and a third announcement of as much as 60,000, but potentially even more. And so in 1 week, we've had some success, not because of the campaign, but that's the type of response we need to see as we begin to move forward. So,
is there any matching piece to that, Dave?
Pardon me?
Any matching piece to that? Like, in other words, if they give you 60, or if someone gives you a donation, you can actually double it through a matching
one. The one gentleman's potentially could be the 100,000. In fact, one other, as Peggy was getting on the plane, another call that could actually lead to maybe $1 million gift of a naming. You know, it's too early to even really talk about that, but one is a match. So help us set, present a sense of we're getting back to normal. And I hope we are.
You have to do that, though. I agree totally. You know, from our perspective, last year we did major concerts totaling $1.1 million. And thank God we were successful. We also had some sizable donations.
Yeah.
Don't forget to thank the people that are giving the money now to stabilize that piece and to thank them for what they've done for
great,
you.
Great
you know
job.
This already, yep. but... But also then go after the matching piece. I know at other colleges, they have one gentleman who's going to be giving $1 million and wants other. The way he's going to do it, that's the maximum.
Challenge.
Yes. Yeah. Getting others to contribute up to that amount.
That's a good
million.
Idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think, David, you have a good point. As much as I have a really bad taste in my mouth, I guess that's what we have to do at this point, is to just...
Ron, it's hard for me to swallow that bitter pill myself, but we need to move forward for the good of the students.
Yeah.
So,
you better bury me.
Pardon me?
I said you better bury me.
they really do, though, because if they sense, Ron, any kind of problem internally with the college or any kind of controversy, some of the ones that are the strongest...
Yeah.
We'll look the other way. They don't want to be involved in something that's not going to be a winner. And I've had a lot of experience over 40 years in doing that kind of thing. And it is unfortunate because, you know, we've got a tough battle ahead. But I know it has to be done if you're trying to raise funds.
The only concern I have about doing that, though, is that I want to, and the college I'm sure does too, that we want to make sure that the faculty and staff on this campus, that we're not abandoning them. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, we want to move on and be positive and helpful. But at the same time, I don't want to do that, given the impression that...
The Savior has arrived.
Do you agree with that, Tom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not the time. We have to move on parallel paths. I understand exactly what Dave said, but we're still down in the dirt. We're not.
Right.
This battle isn't over. We're not brushing the dirt off.
Oh, no.
We're still digging.
I'm not suggesting that either.
Because we've got a long haul.
But I know what Dave has.
Until we get through the issue of presidential selection and sort out where we're going to go with SUNY Potsdam, where things are going to go with the Institute and shared services, we got a lot on our plate that will be challenging, and it may be ugly. But at the same time, Dave's got to raise funds, so raise funds, Dave. Put a smile on your face.
Yeah. My chair,
the articles, the paper, and on TV.
The chair of the foundation is very concerned that my position could be reporting to Potsdam's VP. And his access to the president is a major issue for him and our board, I believe. But I have been doing my best to pull on those reins because it hurts people's confidence. So I'm trying to be optimistic and hoping that announcements will be positive and we'll be able to move forward
one thing you could do is really involve this grind for a while, in my humble opinion. But what you can do is put out some very positive news about what's going on at this college. It's very impressive. And sure, there's going to be bad news in there. I mean, negative news in there, too. But we have to be fair. But it doesn't mean you still can't get positive impact, you know, from some of the things that are occurring on campus.
Well, it would certainly help if one of the council members wanted to donate $1 million today. And then you could set it up as a matching gift.
That surprised me. That's the amount Ron wanted from me for all the good work.
Let's check out of the box.
You know, just to add on to that, though, and I certainly agree with what you're saying, Dave. What I alluded to earlier, and I still think would be of great benefit to us, is if we could just get in a room and discuss both sides, so that we could at least, like I say, agree to disagree. But if some SUNY Central has some notion of how things should be, and they just simply are not going to tell us, but they're going to instead have articles in the newspaper that we will read, and that's how we'll find out. We need to somehow get them to talk to us again. And I think the best way to do that is to invite them, and I don't know if this is even, maybe I'm just, this is a pipe dream, but the reality is it seems to me that even when you disagree, if you can get into a room and have those discussions and find out what it is we've done to offend you and vice versa, being honest about this, Am I completely naive in that way of thinking? Because I think we could gain a great deal if we could just get folks to communicate. And I don't see where that's happening. I just think they've refused to do that.
I would answer your question as a pipe dream. And it is a question of trust. You know, when you out and outright are lied to, well, what do? You don't trust those individuals anymore. I have absolutely no trust in them whatsoever. And I think they're trying to, I don't know who they are, but some of the folks at SUNY Central, I think they're trying to get their nose into everything. Because I know that we had trouble with college council appointments. They were taking so long. And that was not due to SUNY Central either, by the way. It was due to the appointments office and with the governor. But just last week, Jen Leturco and Stacy Hagerman?
Hingsman.
They met with Roseanne DeCito, who's in assembly with you. She's the General Services Commissioner?
Yes.
Yeah. And they had a meeting with her to talk about college council appointments. And I have no idea what, I mean, that was public. I mean, they were telling everyone that meeting was occurring. But what that meant exactly, I have no idea. Whether it was just to hurry things along and get the college appointments moving, or whether it was some kind of recommendation that they were maybe going to make as to who future college council members might be, I have no idea. But that's where I'm at, because I just, whatever I hear, you know, doesn't surprise me. So that's it. Okay. Now, Liz Erickson, the presiding officer of the faculty, and Liz is relatively new. She was elected, a couple months ago?
In January.
And it was quite a contentious election. There was allegations of voter fraud. People having to take a literacy test before they voted. Two runoffs.
Some redistricting.
And finally, Liz was elected.
Yes.
Liz, can you offer an update to us? Thank you.
We don't have much on the faculty end right now for an update, but our next faculty assembly in April, Ron is going to attend to clarify wording on presidential appointments. I think right now the faculty is unsure just the definition of acting versus interim and what that means. The presidential search, we voted members into the search committee, I don't remember if it was a year ago now or a year and a half ago.
Year and a half, probably.
And those members have still been ready and willing to serve on a presidential search, but we haven't had any updates. So hopefully you'll be able to come and update the campus community, and then maybe we'll be able to answer some questions.
When the provost was here 2 or 3 weeks ago, the other member from, a gentleman from SUNY Central, I can't remember his name.
Bob
Krashauer. He did agree to come up and speak to the faculty about that search process. So hopefully he will be there too, and maybe he'll be able to actually clarify a lot of areas that, that I would not be able to do. So hopefully that will work out. Anything else, Liz?
No.
Thank you very much. Karen.
We have some good news. We did hire a registrar. We have a verbal acceptance. Paperwork is going through. And this registrar is someone who is one of our alumni. She also has a bachelor's degree from Potsdam. She came back here and worked her way. She started out as a receptionist. Through the registrar's office, moved up. And she went through the search process, and we hired her. And after she left my office, when I made the offer, she walked across campus singing, "I'm walking on sunshine." The nice thing, I think, she's someone that's committed to the campus. She has no intention of leaving the area. I think we might have a registrar for 20 years. So that stability would be very nice. We have still have 19 searches going on for faculty. We've been very busy with Middle State, preparing and answering questions since they've been here. We've also looked at taking some of our temp service employees, our adjuncts, and creating what we call lecturer lines. And within SUNY, typical tenure track faculty hold academic rank of instructor, assistant, associate, or full professor. And that faculty role encompasses more than just teaching classes. SUNY and the UUP will allow us to create what they call lecturer positions. And these lecturers, they will teach the same load as a faculty member, but it's not a tenure track position. They don't have all the added duties. The reason for going for lecturer positions in some places is we have some areas where we're not sure we're going to have a consistent need these positions 5 years down the road. Hopefully, if admissions becomes more selective, our STEM programs pick up, we won't need as many beginning and intermediate algebra classes. So we're going to use some lecturers there. The other area we're going to use some in is in the nursing program. We have clinical instructors that are in the hospital. They're not on campus to do university service or all those other things. They're clinical instructors. We're going to use lecturers, hopefully, for those. Since SUNY says I can hire faculty, I might as well hire faculty. Now it keeps coming up with money. But we're trying, so that would help move some more dollars to that direct instruction. We are starting a new project, first-time students. The way we always, as far as I've been here 22 years, the way we've always scheduled incoming freshman students is that the registrar creates a schedule, and we hand the students a schedule when they come. That process doesn't allow for students to talk to an advisor, to pick out their own schedule, to have more engagement. And if you think about an 18-year-old, but from the time they filled out an application in November to they show up here in August, they could have switched careers 3 times. And it'd be nice for someone to have that conversation. So we're working with some staff that do work over the summer. We're going to hire some part-time summer advisors. And these people will reach out to any student that's paid a deposit starting in June after high school graduation, when we have that they've actually graduated. They will work with these students. They can physically come to campus if they so choose to. They will do some by phone. The group will take a trip down to New York City to do some there, so that these first-time students will be engaged in their academic success, picking out their own schedule, and that's going on. And enrollment next year will be a challenge. Our deposits are down. Trying to come up with different ways to do it. We're trying to avoid lowering any kind of, we're trying to keep hard and fast to the admission standards that fact that you've created a knot across those lines, but that does have an impact. Answering questions from potential students and parents about will they graduate from SUNY Canton or SUNY Potsdam? You answer SUNY Canton, but the negativity that's been in the press has an impact there. We did find out enrollments are down through a lot in SUNY. I also found out Clarkson's up 60%. Their application pool is up 60%, which was because of a lot of STEM programs really interested in what they did, so we've got an admissions counselor that has a buddy in Clarkson admission that just want to find out what they did. The answer I got from the Clarkson provost is they did some targeted marketing. But I don't quite know what that means exactly. That was all he was giving away.
Just two specific people who would qualify to go to Clarkson were interested in programs. The Target and trade magazines and things like that. That's a thing.
Did the drop in applications, you said due to the, was that because of that graduation rate or?
Drop in applications, we, there can be lots of, people may just not have been filling out. We also get away with something called quick apps.
Yeah, okay.
Freshmen from SUNY Central, some of the guidance counselors were telling us that they thought we were the only school doing the quick apps, and guidance counselors thought we looked desperate by doing them. A couple of them gave us that feedback. The quick apps also are very expensive in the sense that if a student does the online application through SUNY Central, it's a $50 application fee, we get 35 of it, SUNY Central keeps 15. If they do a quick app, we have to pay SUNY Central $50.
What arrangement? Did we have arrangement with the foundation at one point or something with that?
I think that's how we funded some of them. And Dave even agreed to fund some more of them very generously.
So
our admissions counselors declined. They did not feel that that was a way they wanted to go back to. They wanted to develop a strategy that did not.
Our admissions counselor on campus?
Our staff of admissions, yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What was their reasoning?
Well, we stopped them at one point, so they've told the guidance counselors, especially the local guidance counselors of areas and schools they work with at the time, they told them they've stopped them, they turn around and add them back on. They thought it wasn't a good idea. And they also request, if you're filling out a quick app, is there a commitment? Are you actually getting applicants that are serious about SUNY Canton? Or are you getting someone who is standing in front of an adult and the adult hands them a piece of paper? I don't know. I'm not sure what the right answer is, but the admissions counselors, Mike Perry, communicated they did not want to go back to that thing. We've talked about could we have some special programs? Some targeted things such as, we would love to have more students in our STEM program. Could we have a STEM scholarship tuition, application fee waiver for anybody that has a 90 average and qualifies for our new engineering programs? That may be, that's future marketing, that's a year from now. But they're doing call nights with students. I've reached out to the Business and Liberal Arts faculty to their dean to see if some of those faculty would make some phone calls.
Just to vary a little, I had a question when we saw the report on graduation rates from Canton. I was interested in knowing whether they count our students that are in certificate programs as non-graduates, even though they complete the certificate program. So is that being used against us when it shouldn't be?
I'd have to actually look what number they're
including. I don't know about the certificate.
Because that could have an impact on those percentages.
I don't think it counts against us. I don't think they count them at all. I don't think they count them. Certificates are not considered a degree. program. Now, some of our graduation rates are only reported off of bachelor's students.
I wondered about that. I also wondered about, you know, our affiliation with Fort Drum. And are people in programs here, but they may be transferred or whatever, so is that not against us because of
For us to get a success in a graduation rate, a student has to start full-time in the fall. So anybody that starts in the spring never shows up. Anybody who goes part-time never shows up in their graduation rates. It has to be a first-time, full-time fall start. And then for the bachelor's degree graduation rates, it would be up to 6 years to graduate. Those are the federal standards we have to answer to. They call IPADS. Our director of IR has done some research, and one of the things we've noticed is that our graduates, either they finish in the 4 years, or they don't. Where other schools will see a graduation rate, if you get a 4-year graduation rate, it's one thing, a 5-year is a little higher, and a 6-year is a little higher. That doesn't seem to be happening for us. Either they finish in 4, or they don't finish. Now, a couple reasons. One, some schools have issues in terms of making sure students get the courses necessary to graduate. You know, if you've got large classes and a student can't get this Psych 380, it's the last course they need to graduate, it's full, they can't get into it. We make it happen here somehow. We don't get into those binds in terms of, as long as the student's done what they're supposed to, we didn't fail things, we make sure the courses they need to offer, the courses they need, we're offering them. So that's one thing that may explain why we don't have those increases in 5 and 6 grades.
I have a student right now that is in a curriculum where there's only one course offered every year.
That happens.
They've completed everything else.
Yes,
so their advisor said, geez, you know, I can get you certified on an online course out of Niagara, even though you can't, which is great for our students, but that's probably going to be another hit against us.
Well, then that student will take the course of it and take one course, transfer it back here, and we can count it as success. That's okay. We do have some, some of it, like the nursing program. So those programs, they are, you have to start in the fall.
Okay.
And if you miss a class, fail a class, or miss a class somehow, it's a year cycle. It would be nice if we didn't have that,
but
it also would cost twice as much not to have it.
How did transfer a student have an effect that we get? And you say they've spent 6 months somewhere else. Or
so they go to class for a semester and transfer
right.
Years in the spring, but never show up in our rates of graduation.
They don't.
Nope.
And like the kids we had, I know we had 2-3 girls or people, students from St. Lawrence who graduated. Or in our nursing program, that doesn't show up at all.
Transfer students don't appear in the graduation rates.
So it has to be just
transfers in, don't show up, the transfers out for us.
Correct.
Right.
So if we have a we have a 2-year liberal arts program that's designed for students to come here for 2 years, get their general education, maybe intro level courses done, and then go on. If they want, you know, let's say they want a major in history, we don't have a history major. But we can get them through the first 2 years. They transfer out to Oswego. And if there happened to be, you know, they took all the courses through us except one. They forgot, for some reason, they failed something or didn't take it, or maybe they were a little behind in math, so they graduate. So they transfer out to Oswego. They can transfer to Oswego with a 4.0, have 58 credits with us, go to Oswego, graduate from Oswego, but it's a negative to us.
Oh. And a negative to them.
Oswego just doesn't count for them because they were never.
They were okay.
So then, so yeah, the graduation rates are. They're not. They don't tell us a great. They don't tell our story because we have a lot of students that are not full time. One thing David suggested one time is that we might want to start thinking about if we bring in X number of students, and if we bring in 120 nursing students in the fall, and in May we graduate 111. Well, somewhere we did something right. It won't count as our graduation rate, but we... Yeah, it's federal.
It's really important in that recruitment. If you've got a student that's really interested in coming, but somewhat undecided, to really keep at that individual. The other reason I bring it up, I have a friend, their son is at, what is it, the Sports Academy at Lake Placid. And had planned to come here, and all of a sudden he changed and wanted to go to Monroe, did they have a hockey program or something? And all of a sudden, so I asked Randy to call him to see, you know, he's a good student. And obviously, he's, well, maybe I shouldn't say that, but hockey was probably more important than academics right now. But so that type of student, boy, it's really worthwhile spending some time.
Karen, I asked quite a few questions of Mr. The trustee, David.
LaValle. Yeah.
Mr. LaValle.
I remember because there's Bishop LaValle and then David LaValle.
Well, you know what's
interesting is that David LaValle, the provost, actually came from where Bishop LaValle. Spell her name different.
But I asked him a lot of questions. I said, if our kids transfer, do you count it as, you know, after 1 year, do you count it as a failure? And he said not. He said, no, we trace those if they go to a SUNY school. But I wasn't getting straight answers. But then he finally got sick of my questions. He said to me, well, with the other SUNY colleges, you're not that bad. Didn't he say something
right.
like that?
Right.
But, you know, if you look at the overall picture, you really got to improve. So I didn't know what he meant. I mean,
if you look at our associate degree graduation rates compared to other community colleges, which for an associate degree, that would be the peer group.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the highest, but we're certainly not the lowest. We're in the ballpark. If you look at our bachelor graduation rate, we're not as high as Geneseo. But Geneseo, I know two employees who had daughters with high school GPAs of like 98 who were rejected by Geneseo. Well, that's a whole different ballgame. I mean, that's a whole different group of students than ours.
And students who start in two-year degrees with the intent of a four-year degree are not counted in these numbers, the baccalaureate graduation rate. And we have built our house on that. Now, we're finally getting into a number of students who are starting baccalaureate programs and staying through that program. But the number is so small. I think Sarah reported based on 35 or something like that.
It's going to get up to 100 and something.
So if you have that student, and they enroll here for the four-year bachelor's program, and then after 2 years they leave and go to Clarkson, are we in any position to award an associate degree to that student?
Depends on what classes they take, and we are trying to do that more and more.
So if we were able to award the associate, we'd be all right.
Sure.
But I thought they had to be enrolled within that particular program up front for IPEDS to count it.
Yeah, they'd be in that program for IPEDS to count it. But right. I go back to Marie's question about what, you got a little fuzzy answer there from LaValle. SUNY created something called a SUNY success rate that is if a student started full-time, first-time, anywhere in SUNY, like let's say our student, again, a student starting in our liberal arts program full-time in the fall, first-time, full-time freshman, doesn't ever really graduate from our liberal arts program, stays here a year, gets their gen ed out of the way, and gets into Geneseo. And they got Geneseo, and they graduate from Geneseo. It will count on what SUNY has called our SUNY success rate. So SUNY's way of getting around the federal IPEDS data is to create what they call a SUNY success number. Some of our SUNY success numbers have been 90-some%, which is pretty good, except we haven't quite figured out how SUNY is getting the data and how they're calculating the SUNY success rate. So I'd love to give you a lot more information about it, but that's a SUNY creation, and I'm not going to buy on a line with SUNY numbers.
And one of the reasons you should be concerned as a council is when a student fills out a FAFSA online, this iPad's data is reported to them when they, as they're in that process. And so you want to talk about potential hesitation on purchasing that SUNY Camden car, it could come right there. If you're looking, staring down at a baccalaureate, because they don't understand the terms, first-time, full-time, 150% degree completion, and it lists whatever it was, 26%. Oh, that, what was it?
35.
You know, that could cause you to think about it as you apply to multiple locations, and you're looking at that as your benchmark. So... IPEDS also reports a transfer out rate that some campuses have posted. So,
you talk about FAFSA. Is that the little chart that shows up that shows retention, graduation?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So that's where that's coming from.
Yep, it's coming from IPEDS. And if you go to NCES.org, you can look up any college, and you can get very detailed information in relation to probably 3-4-year-old data. And that's another problem.
That's
this is
the other thing.
Yeah.
Right. This data is based on 6 years ago.
Because it's 150% of when they enrolled. So you're going back to 2008 when we were very young in our baccalaureate world. So,
I think it was back in 2006.
Yeah.
And then because there was that cohort was so small, and you know, when you're talking about 30 students in the cohort, when you figure percentages, mm-hmm. one or two student different throws your percentages way off. Graduation, we need to improve retention rates and graduation rates, there's no doubt about that.
But it's not as dire as it looks,
yeah. Very cool, except, we know it's not as dire as it looks,
right,
but how do you
right.
get the word out, particularly when it's a standard data source that, as Dave says, shows up on the online FAFSA application?
Well, that's what
you plug in the college, because you plug in the college identifier code and it pops up. And if you're making decisions based on graduation rates and retention rates, if you've got your choice of Clarkson or wherever, RIT or Canton, then you're seeing high numbers at a couple of colleges with long established programs and really bad numbers here because it's 6-year-old data when we were first launching our baccalaureate programs.
I mean, this is one of those trains that's going to, it goes slow and it has to go in the right direction. So it's not a matter of, it's going to be incremental changes. I mean, as you get the graduation
right.
rates up, you get more selectivity in admission. If you get more selective admission, your graduation rate goes up. But it's always going to be 6 years behind the cycle. It's, you know.
You just have to survive a couple of 6-year cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
They took John Seal almost 3 years.
Yeah,
they took John Seal 3 years ago, which is nothing special.
And they took a big, I mean, we could do it. If I can cut my freshman class in half and rather bring in 960 some, if I bring in 440, 470, 6 years from now, we can have a great graduation rate, probably. But financially, I don't think that's a viable.
Any other questions? One question maybe for you, Ryan.
Yep.
I had a couple faculty members. How is the college council meetings advertised on campus when we meet?
I don't do any faculty staff. It goes on our college council webpage, which, I mean, everybody can access. So the date of the meeting, the time, the place, and then all of the packages.
Is there any way that could be placed on the faculty webpage? This came from two faculty members and said that, well, maybe it's there somewhere. I just don't know where to look for it.
Yeah, we have a college council.
So it'd be under the college council.
I don't remember us ever, in my 28 years, marketing the meetings. Mm-hmm. But it's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
a lot of people are under the impression that they're not open to the public.
Oh, yeah, they're open.
Yeah, if you want to talk about how best we could do that, sure.
Well, that was the concern. Well, Tony Bean was one that said we
would do something simple as just running it in the news feed. You know, that
okay. Anything you do along that line, just. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Or any other? Just remember our next meeting is convocation or commencement, right? Commencement. And then we have our meeting beforehand and then there's 10 graduation. And the honors convocation is May 1st. That's always nice. And the college council is invited to that.
Yes, they are, actually. Okay. I need to send out an email.
So you'll be getting an invitation to that. Anything else? Okay, thank you all for coming. The chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
Joe, second. Tom, all in favor? Aye. Terry, thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Yes, please, because Angel is like she said.